I wanna introduce you to a walking miracle. Miss Angelique, would you mind? I'm going to have Angelique real quickly just share with you her testimony and her story with you, because I think that it will transform what your thoughts are about miracles.
Wow. I don't know how much time I have this morning, but I'll try to make it brief and short. For those of you that don't know, about 9 years ago, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease called scleroderma. And it's a chronic illness, just like anything else, that you can live until your 90s. And but unfortunately, the scleroderma attacked my internal organs, my lungs. So I developed lung disease over the course of the past 9 years. 2 years ago, and I was learning just to live with that, it was getting worse and worse, and they kind of said there was no cure. A little over 2 years ago, it got extremely worse, and I developed another disease called pulmonary hypertension, which is high blood pressure in your heart. So I panicked. I've always been a Christian woman, a believer. But my relationship with God at the time became a little distant. But in my panic, I knew I needed his help. So 2 years ago, Candace, one of my best friends, I called her and I asked her, "Does your church lay hands on people?" And she said, she laughed and she said, "Of course." I came to church on Wednesday's prayer at noon. And so I came and met with Pastor Jen for the first time, and we had a discussion and we prayed, and that's when my relationship with God changed. So fast forward 2 years later. Thank you. About a year after that, the doctors decided they needed to put me on a transplant list. It was either that or, unfortunately, it was just going to get worse. So I told God in my prayer then, I said, "Lord, if you're going to heal me with this transplant," because we all know he could have just breathed air into my lungs. But I said, "If you're going to use this transplant as a means to heal me, because I believe you are going to heal me, use me through this process. If it causes more struggle for me, that's okay. Use my body as a vessel to help others." And let me tell you, he listened. A year later, I got the call. May 1st this year, I was at work. I called Pastor Jen in tears right afterwards. I got the call for the new lungs. They had lungs for me. So I went. That night, I got another call from the surgeon as I was waiting to be prepared for surgery. She says, we took the lungs from the donor out. We found a nodule on their liver. We have to warn you, you know, the nodule could be cancer, but being that this donor is very, very young, we are hopeful it is not, but we won't have the results for 2 weeks. So it's a risk, and you have 5 minutes to decide. I called Pastor Jen again, and praise God, it was like 10 o'clock, and she answered. Oh, God bless her. And I asked my son, who was in the room with me, "Are these my lungs?" And Nathan, in the calmest voice, said, "Yes, Mommy, they are." And I believe at the time it was the enemy trying to convince me that these weren't my lungs. But Nathan said, no, these are your lungs. Pastor Jen had a conversation with me. Lo and behold, I decided to go to surgery. Now, the surgery was supposed to be 6 to 8 hours. 8 hours in, my surgeon, who was world-renowned, best in the United States for lung transplants, She ruptured my right jugular vein. As she was preparing to put my new lungs on life support, as she thought that's what it would need, my new lungs would need to be on life support for a period of time in order to start working with my heart. So as she was preparing for that, the vein was ruptured. It had never happened to her in 15 years. So she had to come out and tell my family that it was touch and go. And there was maybe a 50-50 chance. So, of course, my sister, the prayer warrior that she is, started emailing, calling, texting everyone. And before you know it, everybody across the country was praying for me. My surgeon had to call in 7 other surgeons to assist her, as this has never happened to her before. But she told my sister, this is my patient, and I'm going to do my best to repair it. And so she did. After she repaired the vein, she was going to put my lungs on the life support machine. She put the lungs into my body, and immediately they started breathing on their own. And the room, I was told later, the room in that operating room, they were cheering like a Grey's Anatomy episode. They told me they will never forget me. But what came out of that was, for me, was I never needed the life support. And what happened to my jugular vein, it wasn't going to matter. It was never touch and go. I was going to make it. What this was God using me, like I asked him to, for whatever reason, this needed to happen for my surgeon. I don't know what lesson she needed. I don't know for what reason. I don't need to know. And I told her that, and she cried. Because she was giving herself a really hard time after. So that's the preface of my miracle. Praise God, and thank you, everyone, for the calls, the texts, the visits, Miss Lucy coming to the hospital. I love you all, and I'm back.
It's okay to praise him. Hold on, stay right here for just a second. Stay right here for just a second. Miracles are real. I want you to hear her heart. This woman had her lungs removed. Replaced. And this morning I saw her standing right there saying, the air that's in my lungs is yours. I worship you with what's in my lungs. And whatever you need to do with me, God, do it. Do it. We just love you. We just love you. We love you. Yeah, go ahead. You can worship him this morning. Amen. 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 Wow. We're done. So if there's anything else. Amen. Do we have another testimony? Let's do it. Okay.
Many of you know I'm young at heart. And I love the fact that we were given some honor this morning for doing the work that we do. However, when you see young children in our congregation doing things that adults can do, I have to give a shout out to all the young people, Sienna, Amarice, LaDeja, who else do I got back there, Lachey. Come on up, ladies, because I want them to know what you did. Come on up. And if I'm missing anybody, Zamari, you were there too, and I forgot who else was there that day. I think we had, come on, girls, help me, because these young ladies, we came to clean up the church and take some stuff down. They went above and beyond to tear down all the things that were on the wall and painstakingly remove all the staples, which there had to be over 1,000 of them, in the wall. And they did this. They went beyond what we were supposed to clean one room. They had gone ahead and done the other room. So they also deserve some credit. I'm donating my cookies to them. Now, I know your auntie's the one that's cooking these cookies, so I know you can get some. But my girls on this end, I'll make sure that they get the box because I want to make sure that we understand that we all were a community here. And this went all the way down to our young people. And these girls were here every single time for every cleanup at Rohi. And I just want to commend them as well. And I didn't want them to feel left out and forgotten. They worked really hard. Thank you. All right.
Thank you, everyone. You know what I love is to see faith and ministry operating from all levels, from all ages. I love that our kids can get involved in ministry. You know, the Bible says to train them when they're young. and I love to see not just faith in just action here, but to even hear Angelique's son just say, you know what, Mom? I hear the Holy Spirit telling me this is going to happen. That's faith operating. That's faith operating. And so, I want to honor all of our young children. Our children's pastor, Pastor B. King, for instilling truth in them. And so just honor is just overdue on so many levels. And so I'm just grateful for all of you. Amen. All right. Well, without further ado, y'all ready for the word? Let's do some word. Amen. Amen. Do me a favor. Go ahead and open your Bibles, we should go somewhere in their Bible, shouldn't we? How about 1 John 5:14? 1 John 5:14. 1 John 5:14. Now, this morning, we're going to talk about prayer. We are really at the end of a series that we have called Skeptics Welcome. It's a series in where it's designed to ask the difficult questions. And so we surveyed our church and we asked, hey, what are some difficult questions that you want an answer to? So we've taken the last couple of weeks to answer that. Last week, Pastor Jen asked the question, am I supposed to be poor because I'm a Christian? And she did a phenomenal job. And so we are grateful. Yeah, go ahead. You can clap. That's cool. If you missed any part of the series, you can find the entire series available online on our website at rohichurch.org, or you can go to our podcast, the Rohi Christian Church podcast on Apple or Android. The question that we're going to answer this morning, though, is, does God answer my prayers? Any takers? Yeah? Okay, well, we're done. We just saw a walking miracle, so we know that God answers prayer, right? We know that God answers prayer, but my task this morning, outside of just giving you the experience of it, is to see what the Word has to say about it. Amen? Can we do that this morning? All right. Now, in order to really understand and answer that question, does God answer my prayer? First, we have to define what prayer is. We have to define what prayer is, right? Prayer, we know we pray to God. Anybody here pray to God? Jesus Christ? Yep, okay, all right. Some define prayer as a conversation, right? And so I used to be in the back a lot teaching our kids, and I would very simply define prayer as a conversation between you and God. And that's true. It's a conversation between you and Father God. We see in Exodus where the Lord would speak to Moses face to face. He would go into a tent, and God would be there, and they would meet with each other. The Bible says that they would speak to each other like they were friends, face to face. So he had a conversation with him. Moses would talk, and God would listen. And then God would talk, and then Moses would listen. And so there was this two-way conversation that was happening. So we know that conversation happens with God. We also know that prayer is supplication, which is a fancy word for saying ask. The fancy word for saying ask, right? In supplication, in Philippians, we see that that the word says that in everything, by prayer and by supplication, in asking, let your requests be made known to God. We know that prayer is praise and worship. We do a lot of praising and worshiping here at Rohi Church. It's part of our DNA. It's just what we do. And so we can't separate prayer being praise and worship. In fact, we see in the life of Daniel too, where Daniel would kneel down and he would pray to God in worship and in thanksgiving, no matter what situation was happening with him. The Bible says that he would face, he would get on his knees and then he would face and he would pray and give thanks before God. And so we know that prayer is praise and worship. We also know that prayer is intercession. We know that prayer is intercession, which is a petition or a request on behalf of someone else. What I heard this morning was all those prayers. We heard a conversation with God. We heard a supplication. Lord, I need this. We heard intercession where people, prayer warriors around a miracle, asked and interceded on behalf, and God answered. We saw prayer as praise and worship. We saw prayer as praise and worship. So we know that all these things are here, right? We know that talking to God is real. And we know that a God answers. If anything, by just seeing and experiencing a walking miracle this morning. Right? But here's the question I want to ask. Because there are times where we wonder, God, did you even hear my cry? I prayed. I supplicated. I petitioned, I requested, I worshiped, but did you hear it? Anybody ever had that question before? I may be a pastor, but I got that question all the time. Lord, I know that I prayed and I know that I've asked for something, but do you hear me, God? Because I don't see any evidence of it happening yet. I added the yet there because I have to believe something. Yet. Do you hear me, Lord? Do you hear me? Have you heard what I had to say? And that's where we're at today. 1 John 5:14. Lord, I just release us this morning to hear your word. I release freedom right now this morning, God, to know that our conversation with you is not lost. God, I thank you for walking miracles this morning. I thank you, God, that you answer prayers. I thank you, God, that that as we'll see in the word, that you don't let any prayer go unheard. And this morning, God, we just thank you. We ask, Lord, that you would transform hearts this morning. God, that you would show us in your word how prayer life works and how you work in it. Holy Spirit, do what you need to do to convict, to change, to challenge, and to do a work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Together we're going to read 1 John 5:14. You can stay seated. The words are here on the screen. 1 John 5:14. Let's do that together, and let's do it now. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything. Hold on, stay right there. I want you to repeat that part, that if we ask anything. You guys ready? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears us. How many of you know he hears us? Turn to your neighbor and says, he hears us. He hears us. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, he hears us. Yeah. He hears us. The word says, this is the confidence that we have. That if we ask anything, he hears us. He hears us. I'm going to prove to you first real quickly that, yeah, God does answer us. And I'm going to do that through the word this morning. Is that okay? Is that okay? We've seen the experience, but is it okay that we look at the word? First thing I want to look at is Matthew 7, verse 7. And it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? That's it. He's saying, I answer you. I will give you what you ask for. Matthew 21:22 says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. John 14, 13 says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And then John 16, 24 says, "Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." The word says, "I hear you." God says, "I hear you. I will respond to you. What you ask, what your desires are, I hear them." Yeah. I hear you. So first of all, I want to tell somebody, he has heard your cry. He has heard your cry. Turn to someone and tell them, he has heard your cry. But then all of us have been in a place where, okay, God, I got that. I hear that you hear me. Why, though, does it seem that you don't? Anybody ever had that question before? Or is it just me? Is it just me? Okay, I'm by myself. It's cool. It's no problem. Right? All of us have been there. Where we feel like we've been crying out for something. Where we feel like we have been crying out on behalf of someone else. Where we feel like we've been crying out on our crazy family, on our kids, our spouse, our job, our finances. We've been crying out. And we have sat back. And it feels like nobody hears it. Nobody hears it. Take a little break. Hold on. Nobody hears it. But this morning, here's the question I want to ask. What do you do then? What do you do when you know that God hears your cry? Well, let me say this. What do you know when you know that when you know what you've read, but it just hasn't happened? What do you do then? What do you do then? This is a question that I know we battle with all the time. You know why? Because the enemy has come in and has deceived us to say, you know what? You know why he hasn't answered? He didn't hear you. You know why he didn't answer? Because you're not worthy. You're not even his child. The enemy comes to come and kill, to steal, and to destroy, is what John 10:10 says. That's the only thing he's come to do. He has come to steal, kill, and destroy faith. He has come to kill, steal, and destroy hope. Yeah? Well, what do we do, though, when we're in that place? What do we do when we're in that place, right? Here's the question I want to ask. If that's the case, how do we get our prayers answered? How do we get our prayers answered? Or maybe a different way to phrase it is, what are some reasons why our prayers aren't being answered? Can we do that today? Yeah? All right. Here's the first reason why our prayers are probably not getting answered. We don't ask. Alex, that's just dumb. How is it that I have a prayer and I didn't ask? That's a good question. That's a good question. Here's what we do instead. We complain. We complain. We think about it a lot. Right? We contemplate. And all in our mind, we have processes going, gears are turning. But Lord, you know my request. It's all up in here. Right? I want to show you something real quickly. Luke 11:1. This is Jesus praying. In Luke 11:1, it says, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' So he said to them, 'When you pray,'" someone read that next word loudly. "Say, when you pray, say." That right there is profound. When you pray, say. That word in the Greek is lego, like my ego. L-E-G-O, lego, right? We see that anytime that word lego or say is used, it is an action verb where words, physical action of speech has broken silence. Physical action of speech has broken silence. Here's what Jesus is saying. You want to pray and get action to occur? I need you to say it. I need you to say it. I don't need you to think it. I don't need you to complain it. I don't need you to just get the wheels to turning. I need you to say it. Some of us are stuck at the thought process. And all the muscles in this area right here are real good for telling other people stuff. But they're real bad about praying and saying. Someone just got convicted right there. Someone just got convicted right there. Here Jesus is telling us, I need you to break the silence. I need you to break the silence and open your mouth. I need you to stop thinking about what it is that you're looking for. I need you to stop thinking about what you think other people need to do about it. I need you to open your mouth and say it. And say it. Don't meditate quietly on this thing anymore, because I need you to say it. I need you to open your mouth and verbalize it. Now, I want you to realize, if you understand the power of words, you will see why Jesus is telling you, I don't need you just to think about it, but I'm going to need you to open your mouth about it, right? Think about it. When God created the universe, what did he do? He spoke it. He said it. What moved into motion was words. Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be firmament, and there was firmament. He spoke it. There is power, power in words. You know who understands this really good? The enemy. The enemy understands this principle real well. Because here's what he does. He tells you things that are lies. Right? Or he uses people around you to tell you things that are lies. And to birth doubt. To birth lack of faith. Because he knows this principle really well. As believers, we need to capture this. And we need to move on this. Jesus says, when you pray, I need you to say it. I need you to verbalize it. I need you to open your mouth and break the silence today. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of that little pink fleshy thing right there. That tongue is powerful. That tongue is powerful. But we don't ask. We just think about it. Or we complain. Or we complain about it. We talk about it. But we never talk to God about it. Girl, can you imagine him, what he told me? He must be a fool for thinking that I'm just going to, right? This is how we pray about it to other people. We complain. Or we gossip about it. But here's what God is telling me. I don't need you to go and tell somebody else about it. I need you to come and pray and say it to me. Tell me. Matthew 7:7 says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. The Bible is real clear. We have to ask and not think, not complain about it. Now, you need to ask. I'm struggling with this because I want to say this I don't care. I need you to be alert. Because the enemy is looking for every opportunity to silence your prayer. The enemy is looking for every opportunity to quiet you down, right? The moment that you come up against a situation where you know, God, this is a promise that you've given me, is my immediate response, zip? Or is my immediate response, God, I need you to come in and step into this thing? What I heard a walking miracle say is that I praised him right there. Whoever was around, I asked him whatever need I need right then. And then when I couldn't have enough to say, I asked other people to say it for me. I asked other people to intercede on my behalf. When my voice, I couldn't do it anymore, I called my prayer warriors and I said, I need you to pray for me too. I need you to open your mouth and let words operate. I need you to declare the promises of God over my life too. Words are powerful, people. Words are powerful, people. But you need to say them with your mouth. You need to say them with your mouth. But here's the question. But God knows what we need. Obviously, if we need healing, he obviously knows what we need. He obviously knows that the thoughts that are going in my head. He obviously knows that the desires are in my heart, right? James 4:2 says, this is in the New Living Translation, yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Yeah, the Bible says in Matthew 6:8 that your father knows what you need before you ask him, and that's true. But I want you to see an example here in the Bible. In Matthew 8, it says, it's Matthew 8, verse 2, a leper came and worshipped him. This is worship Jesus, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I'm willing. Be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, did it just become God's will right at that opportunity, right at that time, for that leper to be cleansed, for him to be healed? His will is for healing to have come. But I want you to see what happened. He asked, and healing came. I need you to open your mouths and ask. God, here is what your promise says. Here is what your promise says. I need you to open your mouth, not think about it, not worry about it, not complain about it, not try to solve it ourselves, but ask. Who? Father. Father. Number two reason why our prayers may not be answered. We ask for the wrong reasons. We ask for the wrong reasons. Another way of saying this is we ask for something that's not in God's will. We ask for something that's not in God's will. James 4:3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. I love the ESV. It says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. A lot of people take the promises of God and they try to pray for things that are not God's will. Yeah, okay. Lord, oh Lord. You know, I just want to pray for Jane. I mean, I just pray that you would give her to me as a wife, Lord. I mean, we get along so incredibly well. We finish each other's sentences. Oh, there's just something about Jane that's just so special. You know, well, that's not God's will for you. What? How do you know? Well, because you married, Jack. You already married. Or because Jane isn't a believer. We try to make something that's not God's will the will of God. If you married already, his will is not for you to find Jane. Someone had to hear that today. Right? We try to make something, and watch this, God isn't going to answer that. He will not oppose his will. But I tell you somebody who will. The enemy loves to oppose God's will and to bring something to pass that isn't in his will. He loves it. So watch this. The enemy will immediately come up and say, oh, you and Jane, I think y'all are perfect together. You know what? I think the Lord put you together. I think the Lord has really blessed you, right? Yeah, somebody's put you together, but it isn't the Lord. Amen? Amen? See, we have to pray according to his will. If we go back to 1 John 5:14, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now here's the question that I don't know about you, but that I feel like follows up. What is his will? What is his will? How do I know what his will is? Right? Because it kind of logically progresses. All right, well, I got to pray his will. Wait, what's his will? I'll tell you real simply. How do you find it? You go back to his word. You go and you start with his word. Lord, your word says that promotion comes from the Lord. Psalm 75:6. Lord, your word says that a prudent wife is from the Lord. That's what your Psalms 19 says that. Lord, it is you who gives the power to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18. It is you who heals all of our diseases, Psalms 103:3. By his stripes, Lord, I am healed. 1 Peter 2:24. That is his will. When the leper came and said, if it is your will, God. You know what? Yeah, it is, because my will is to heal. My will is to bring healing to the brokenhearted. That is my will. Amen. 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 That is his will. That is his will. Number three reason for why our answers may not be answered, why our prayers may not be answered. Because of the sin in our lives. In Psalm 27:9, we see the plea of David for God to hear him out and to not turn away from him in anger. From this, we could see that sin causes God to turn away. Right? Isaiah 59:2, Isaiah tells the people, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Now, when there is unconfessed sin in our lives, watch this, it hinders our communication to God. This is why Jesus says, I need you to repent, to turn around from that thing, to confess your sin and to repent from it. Because I need to be able to communicate with God and to have an opportunity to declare his promises. Some of us are stuck in prayer after prayer after prayer and wondering why this thing isn't happening. And God is telling you right now, listen, that sin that you are unwilling to deal with, that gossiping tongue, that adultery, all of that is preventing the thing that I have promised you from manifesting in your life today. You don't have to say amen. It's cool. It's for your neighbor. It's not for you. But there is something in your life that is preventing, that is separating you from your God. Here's what James 5:16 says, though. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Proverbs 15:29 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. 1 Peter 3:7, if you, this is for husbands in the room. This one right here, this could be a deal breaker for some of us. because I want you to see what it says here. If you are a husband, you should be thoughtful of your wife. Treat her with honor, because she isn't as strong as you are, and she shares with you in the gift of life. Then nothing will stand in the way of your prayers. Some of us, our sin or our thing that's preventing us from our prayer to be answered is just the honor that we give our wives or our spouses, our significant others. We have not honored them, and it's preventing prayers from being heard and being answered. I don't know who you are, but someone this morning, honor is due. Honor is due. Honor is due. And now, number four, and the final why our prayers may not be answered. We are unwilling to persevere. Another way of saying this is we are impatient. We live in a microwave society. Beep, beep, beep. And we just wait. 30 seconds later, I got a full meal, and I'm ready to eat. We expect that that's what life looks like always. To God, that 30 seconds seems like an eternity to us. But our impatience says, Lord, I have thrown up my prayer to you, and I have waited at least 3 or 4 hours. Where are you at? Where are you in this process? I obviously can't trust you right now, and so therefore I'm just going to do the thing that I need to do. Our impatience moves us into a place outside of the will of God. Lord, you promised that I would get a spouse, and so I'm praying for a spouse. And I'm waiting, and 2 days later I don't have a spouse, but Jane looks really nice. She's married. It's cool. We can deal with that part. I got this, God. But our impatience puts us in a place where we have moved outside of the will of God. I don't want anyone in this place that have heard this message to say, my impatience has moved me outside of your will, God. I want you to see where perseverance prevails. In Daniel 10, this morning in, during our prayer time, the Holy Spirit gave this as a prophetic message, I believe. But Daniel 10, Daniel, in fact, let's go to Daniel 1, if we can pull that up. Pull up Daniel 1. Sorry, Daniel 10, 1. Sorry, Daniel 10, 1. I don't have this in my notes, so. It says, in the third year of King Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. That's a cool name, right? Imagine having a roll call on that one. The message was true, but the appointed time was long. The message was true, but the appointed time was long. For some of us, God is telling you, I need you to be patient because what I've told you is true, but the appointed time is not now. The appointed time is not at this moment. The appointed time is long. The appointed time is long. And then in Daniel 10, verse 12, here's what happens. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, from the first day. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. From the first moment where you prayed, where you asked, your words were heard. From that first time, your words were heard. And I have come. Why? Because of your words. Words put into action. Words put into action. And then it goes on in verse 13. It says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. There was oppression. There was blockage. There was something happening right there where I had to fight to come and bring you that thing that you're asking for. It took 21 days for the moment that I heard it to come through and finally meet you at the place that you're at right now. For some of you, God is saying, I have released it. And if you're not standing in your appointed place, you are not going to find the appointed time. Because you have moved out of the will of God. Can you imagine what would have happened to Daniel if he just decided, you know what? I need to just move to wherever it is that I think I need to go to. Never would that angel have been able to say, oh, wait, 21 days later, Daniel was supposed to be right here. Where'd he go? He was supposed to be right here. There was an anointed time, and this was it. And he missed it if he wouldn't have just stayed patient and persevered through it. Amen? Amen. We're going to close here in just a bit. James 5:16. I want to see this last verse because I think that this goes really well with perseverance. James 5:16. The prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working. This may be a different translation than we have up there. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently. Fervently that it might rain or that it might not rain. Here's what he did. Elijah, how many of you guys know the story of Elijah? Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain. And it said fervently, impassioned, believing, patiently believing that it wouldn't rain. And so like Pastor B. King prayed one time that it wouldn't rain. And then we had a drought here in California. Thank you, Pastor B. King. Y'all think I'm playing? But the reason that we had a drought in California, I'm blaming Pastor B. King for. His prayer was, God, I pray that before I get a new car and because I got to take the public transportation to get to work, that it wouldn't rain. And it didn't rain. And no joke, the week he got a new car, it began to rain. But the prayer of a righteous man is heard. So I give all blame to Pastor B. King right there, okay? If y'all listen on the podcast right now, he prayed that it wouldn't rain. And like Elijah, the clouds were shut out. And we had to endure themes and sayings like brown is the new green. Fervently he prayed. Fervently he prayed. Patiently. And then what happened? God answered him. Some of you need to hear today that there's a prayer that he has already set forth. And there is an appointed time for it. And he has already pushed forward that from the first day that he heard you, from the first day that you said it, from the first day that you asked, he said, I have already put things in motion so that at an appointed time, it will be right there where it was meant to meet you. Where it was meant to meet you. If that's you right now, I need you to stand. I need you to stand with me. If you have a neighbor next to you that message is for, I need you to stand. If you have a family member that message is for, I need you to stand. If you have healing for someone that's around you, I need you to stand because God is saying this. There is an appointed time that I have released it, that I have released it, and I need you to be in the place where I have called you to be so that that prayer can meet its destiny today, can meet where it needs to be. Financial world, right now he's telling me that there is someone who has prayed because they don't know where their finances are going to be coming from. That they've lost out on a job, that they've lost out on a home, that they've lost out on an opportunity for an allowance or an inheritance. I don't know who you are, but God is saying that there is an appointed time that I have already called. You have cried out, and I have heard you, and from the first day, I have heard, and I have set forth that thing. And I need you to believe. I need you to believe. I need you to believe that I have released that thing into your life right now. If that's you, if that's your neighbor, if that's your family, I need you to praise him right now already for what he has done. Lord, this morning, I just pray, God, that you would release right now faith. God, we operate in a place of belief. We operate in a place of knowing that you hear our call. That every time that we have spoken, that we have asked, that we have uttered your promise, God, that you have already answered. God, forgive us. Lord, forgive us for not believing that our prayers are answered. God, help me to ask. Help me to open my mouth, to verbalize what it is that the desire is in my heart. God, help me to ask with the right motives, in line with your will, oh God. I cast away anything that's in your life that has prevented you from moving into a place of right motives, from moving away from his will. Father, help to remove the sin from my life this morning. Whether it's a sin of honor, I hear someone telling me that, I hear the Holy Spirit saying that there is shame because of a sin. And I hear Father God saying, the enemy has tried everything he can to shower you in shame. But I have come to bring you freedom this morning. I have come to release you from that thing. I have come to release you from it. And this is the day that it begins. If you will accept my freedom, this is the day that it begins. Now, Father, help me to know that you have heard my cry. Can I get our prayer team to come up here? Anyone who's on the prayer team? Sometimes you may be in a place where you have no idea what God is doing in your life. And you just need someone to remind you of the promises that he has for you. If you're in need of prayer today and you don't know what it is that you need to say, I'm going to have our prayer team up here. And I'm going to call you up here in just a bit. Before I do that, I want you to realize that our conversation with God starts first as a relationship. If I haven't accepted him as my Lord and my Savior, these promises that we're talking about, his will is for you to be in his family. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to come up here. If you're ready to receive him this morning, I need you to come up here this morning. If you have never accepted Jesus into your life, and you're ready to do that, you're ready to move into the next place, I need you to come up here. Now, maybe you have accepted Jesus into your life, and there are prayers that have been going up and out, and you have asked for them over and over again, and they haven't come to pass. If that's you, I need you to come up here. If that's you, I need you to come up here. If there is a prayer, you have been praying for something. I hear there's healing. I hear there's release. I hear there's financial issue. Whatever it is, if that's you, I need you to come up here. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. I'm going to join you. I'm going to join you. Because there are prayers that we have sent up. And the only thing that we've heard is silence. But I hear God telling me that I heard you, son. I heard you, daughter. That thing that you asked for, that desire that you've asked for, I set it forth. And so now, God, I release faith over that prayer. I release faith right now over every person that's up here, that they would ask and believe, that they would ask and believe that you have already called for an appointed time for their prayer and for their desire that is in their heart to be answered right now. Yeah. Yeah. With your mouths. Those of you that are up here, those of you that are still seated, those of you that are still at your seats, I need you to say something with me. I need you to say, Lord, I believe that you have heard my prayer. I believe that every promise that you've given me, that you have set it to pass. I believe every promise that you have, God. And so I release right now, and each person, release, 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 release. Yeah, release, release. Yeah. If you believe that, I need you to worship him this morning. Worship him this morning. Worship him this morning.
Thank you, Pastor Alex. That was awesome. Awesome. So proud of you. You've grown so tremendously. So proud of you. If you could do us a favor and meet us at the back door there so that we can honor you on our way out the door by just saying thank you for such an awesome word. Thank you. I'm going to dismiss the rest of you, but if you are in need of prayer today, if you just need somebody to stand with you and say, I just need an infusion today of faith to believe that everything that God has said will come to pass, please don't leave here today without that. Make sure you come and see one of our prayer team members today, and they will pray with you. Amen. Amen. And one last announcement before we leave. Next week, we will be meeting here at the Piercy building. We're not going to be moving over to the new building quite yet. Still some construction going on there. So next week, where are we meeting? Don't go to the other building because no one will be there. So next week, make sure that you meet us back here. Pastor Shannon will be back and we'll be sharing an awesome word with you, all right? Amen. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine upon you. When you pray this week, may you know that your prayers are heard. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed. Don't forget to honor Pastor Alex on your way out this morning.